Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gabaza, and for today, we're looking at some of the advancements that are going on in the world of healthcare. I think the world of healthcare is one of those things that we've touched on in many of our episodes, especially given the fact that we are going through a COVID-19 pandemic, one of those things that is affecting all of us. There isn't anyone who has been safe around the world. It's one of those things that has brought us all together, albeit in a negative way. And to help us to see what's actually going in the health tech space, because a lot of the time we tend to, you know, there's a lot of technologies around cloud, fintech, etc. But for today, we're looking at specifically health tech, and we're going to be talking to Shirana Mott, who is the founder and CEO of Recomed. And he says they are the largest healthcare booking platform and marketplace in sub-Saharan Africa. So we're just going to be hearing a little bit about what Recomed is, how it started, but more importantly, what it is they're trying to achieve, and where else some of the growth in the health tech space actually is. Shiran, greetings to you today.
Mudiwa, thank you so much for having me on the show.
I think just as a baseline, you know, just to get us, you know, the ball rolling, we've already said this is one of the descriptions that I found to say that Recomed is the largest healthcare booking platform and marketplace in sub-Saharan Africa. Maybe you could give us some insight into what that actually means.
Sure. Well, it means that if you think of booking.com, how it is a place where people can go online, search for hotels and accommodation, and make a booking all in the comfort of their home at night. Well, Recomed is booking.com, but for healthcare. It's a platform where anyone can log on to www.recomed.co.za. They can browse and look for a doctor in their area, such as a GP, perhaps a clinic or a dentist. See when exactly they're available, read recommendations from other patients, and even when the practice is closed, make a booking with the two clicks of a button. And they can do that all from their phone in 30 seconds. And that avoids them having to spend 5 minutes waiting for the practice to confirm availability when they phone in. So essentially what we do as a company is we greatly improve access to healthcare for the average person. We make it very easy for them to see what healthcare providers and services are in the area. And we make it very, very easy for them to get delivery of that care, to make a booking and show up on time. How we do that, there's a lot of complexity in how we provide that system and how we've built the system in the healthcare industry. But for the consumer, it's really, really simple. It's all about convenience and saving time.
Now, when it comes to addressing, you know, that issue, I think the problem is well articulated, just that ability to find a healthcare professional easily, quickly, be able to do it from the comfort of your home. Your specific interest when it comes to healthcare, are you a doctor? Are you someone who was affected by a bad, medical booking experience? How did you find yourself trying to solve this specific issue?
That's a great question. Well, I'm a technology entrepreneur by trade. My background is in computer science and electrical engineering. Happy to say, though, both of my parents, my mother and father, are doctors. So perhaps that gives me some genetic credibility in the healthcare profession. But no, I'm an engineer and a tech entrepreneur. So my previous company was based in the United States, and I lived in New York City. And I used to book all of my healthcare appointments using a platform called ZocDoc, which was, I thought, very, very interesting because I could go online, search for doctors in my area, and make a booking at night while practices were closed. It just saved me a ton of time and made my ability to find a doctor so much easier because I was new in the city. So when I moved back to South Africa in 2013, I was amazed to see that nothing like this existed. You know, South Africans were very happy to book all of their flights online. They were very happy to book their hotels and accommodation online. But for some reason, South Africans were still very comfortable to walk in to a practice and wait or to phone or to read through these long paper directories. And I thought this was really crazy and inefficient. So that's really what inspired me to start the business. And of course, you know, once I'd gotten going, I realized that healthcare is a sector that really affects everybody who breathes. The market size for healthcare is everyone alive. And it's a business that's very meaningful because it allows us to reach millions of people. And that's been very, very rewarding for me and our team. Currently, we've serviced over 1.5 million South Africans to help them get online bookings for healthcare. So that's been very rewarding.
You know, one of the most interesting things when it comes to you articulating the business problem is the fact that in other industries, because you drew a parallel between what was happening with South Africans and travel versus what they were doing when it comes to healthcare, because with travel, when you have the likes, when you have the likes of, I think booking.com or other online platforms where you can book flights, etc., you sort of disintermediate or disrupt industries that have typically sat in the middle, like your travel agencies and stuff like that. But in the world of healthcare, it sort of seems as if this would actually help, you know, specific practices, because I know, you know, from experience of just having a couple of friends that are administrators in hospitals, that it's quite a lot of admin actually just taking the calls and, you know, manually booking those things into your doctor's, you know, appointment books, etc. It's not like there was a doctor's booking agents that were there, you know, previously, right? And one just wonders why we weren't doing this before.
Yes, I think that while healthcare practices and doctors sign up with us, and we have 2,500 healthcare providers, primarily general practitioners, also clinics on our platform today, why they sign up is very, very simple. We save them a ton of time, so they don't have to be manning phones all day long. We actually make their patients happier, because now their own patients are not sitting and waiting to get through to the practice to make a booking. But most important of all, if that practice is looking to reach and find new patients, we're a very effective channel at bringing new patients into that practice, because we allow those healthcare practices to become easily discoverable by people searching on Google, searching on our website. We integrate with many major healthcare insurers, such as Discovery. We power the platforms for many corporate healthcare groups, Clicks and Dis-Chem being two examples. So with all of those channels feeding into this online platform, if you're a doctor and you join it, you've suddenly entered a world where millions of people are trying to book healthcare now. And that helps them bring in more patients and grow a more successful practice, which makes the whole ecosystem more sustainable. So for the consumer, we're making it 10 times easier to book an appointment with pleasure and saving them a ton of time. And time is really valuable to people in this modern age. You know, there's a reason they're using booking.com to book hotels and Travel Start for flights and Uber to get a taxi, and they're no longer calling the taxi cab company. I mean, convenience really matters. And that's what our business is for consumers. But for the practitioner, it's about helping them grow their business and becoming a business partner to them. And that approach has been very successful for us.
Now, against that backdrop then, COVID-19, the obvious elephant in the room, the thing that we're all trying to get off, the thing that we all wish just did not happen, because with it, it literally erased 2020 from history. So from that point of view, your own business, because one would argue that you guys were probably at the coalface when it comes to a lot of intersections, because we've spoken a lot about digital adoption and digitalization in many other sectors. So I can imagine that in the healthcare sector, that was a big driver that, you know, if people thought of convenience before, they probably really wanted that convenience during the pandemic. And, you know, against all of that, then how has business been, and how have you guys actually responded to the crisis?
I think the pandemic has had a massive impact. You know, I'm reminded of this famous quote that I like from Lenin, where he once said that there are decades when nothing happens, and there are weeks when decades happen. And that's what it felt like. That's very much what it felt like around March and April 2020 for us. It was weeks where decades were happening. So I'll give you an example. For many, many years, video consultation, telehealth, was not approved as legal in South Africa by our healthcare regulations authority. And within a month, they issued new guidance saying that video consultations as a form of doctor consultation will be allowed and approved of at a national scale. And within a year of that happening, we've probably had between 10 and 20 telehealth video consultation platforms be launched and enter in the South African market. So that's an example of something that had been absolutely nascent for 10 years. And suddenly we fast forward into 2021, and this concept of a video consultation with the doctors is actually becoming commonplace. So we've probably seen a 100-fold growth there. So Recomed is a platform that offered video consultations instead of just physical bookings with doctors, and then we integrated and allowed doctors to use any of their preferred tools to consult with their patients. That's just one example of a new service, and that required the regulating body to think in a more modern manner, which they did, and the industry thanks them. And on the flip side, it involved two big changes. So doctors traditionally have been a slow adopter market, but all of a sudden, between March and April last year, at least 50% of patients decided they were going to stay at home. You know, we typically would do about 50,000 online bookings a month for Recomed. And suddenly in April, we did 24,000 online bookings. We were shocked. Of course, that volume all recovered over the course of the year. But imagine running a business where one day half your customers don't show up. You know, and even if it's medicine where you want to treat people, that forced them to switch on their computers, fire it up and say, well, what's going on? How do I reach my patients? How do I communicate with them and treat them and so on? So suddenly the doctors voluntarily pushed themselves down a path of technological adoption, which was a game changer for health tech companies such as ours. And they started to phone us instead of us trying to convince them how we can help them. The second thing that happened is, and this is, you know, consumers always drive change. You put a smartphone in everybody's pocket, they're going to drive change. So consumers just responded. They stayed home and they said two things, for example. One, maybe I'm going to try out a video consult with my doctor if, you know, the kids are a little sick and I've got a sniffy, a runny nose or something. That started to happen and that continues to today. Another example is people increasingly are trying other services, like saying, perhaps we'll try to get our medicine delivered, our chronic medication delivered to our homes through e-commerce. So that's another example of a digital health innovation that we are helping to take to market that has a lot of interest from the market to say, well, you know, we've got this prescription from my doctor. Can I just get the medication at home? You know, and there's a variety of other examples like that, but those are just two that I thought were quite popular and relevant at the moment.
Could you give us maybe some color around how the numbers have perhaps adjusted? Because you did start off by telling us that you were doing an average. I think you said it was 50,000 bookings and then that dropped to about 24,000. How has that normalized over time? And maybe you could give us some color around the number of video sessions that are on the platform now.
Yes, well, you said 2020 was the missing year. So we basically recovered to sort of pre-COVID levels earlier this year. So 2020, let's call it April to March from 2020 to 2021, was a year of recovery for all businesses in healthcare from a pure volume perspective. So we signed up more customers. We had great interest from the industry. But in terms of actual booking volumes from patients, that fell off a cliff in April, and every month since then, it grew. And now we, again, are back up to sort of 60,000 online bookings a month as a platform. And this was common throughout the whole industry. We've been fortunate at Recomed because online bookings have become increasingly popular over the last year. Remember, practices tend to have to offer online bookings so that they don't have extremely busy waiting rooms, and people do not want to sit and wait in a waiting room where they could potentially be exposed to too many people. So we have at record growth numbers now, but I would say that's because online bookings are a much bigger share of all healthcare bookings that exist. I think in general, practices are still struggling. I'd say on average, the doctors are probably still seeing fewer patients today than they were before COVID. And the industry is still very much in a path of adaptation. So with regards to video consultations, while we might do 60,000 online bookings a month, less than 5% of those would be telehealth consultations, but it is still a significant number. If we say about 5%, a few thousand telehealth consultations, you know, a year and a half ago, this number was sitting at zero. So it's still very significant and probably set, I would estimate, to grow about at least 3x every year from here on out.
It's actually quite interesting because I'm doing some quick maths in my head right now because a few weeks ago we actually had the CEO of Discovery Health on our platform, and he was giving us some similar experiences. They also had a video conferencing facility as part of some of their digital platforms, which was very nascent because no one ever used to use it. And then because of the pandemic, now you find yourself, you know, having to accommodate that growth in traffic coming off of a low base, but it's still a significant amount of traffic because, you know, that means you guys are sort of now around maybe 3,000 or so of these video conferences, you know, in a month. And for a market where people are hardly doing it, that's still a big jump.
Absolutely, and that came from zero. And Recomed is very pleased to be an integration partner of Discovery Health. So any doctor on Recomed is immediately bookable from the Discovery Health digital member platforms for physical consultations or virtual consultations. And we're happy to be a partner to them and to power online bookings for parts of their platform. So we work extremely closely with Discovery Health as well as with Discovery Vitality. And I think, you know, these types of partnerships are good examples of the collaborations that have emerged in the last year as the industry changed and had to find ways to bring new service offerings to consumers and doctors. So, you know, we look forward to more collaborations with them and with the rest of the industry over time.
Now, because we are a business-focused platform, we do have to ask, firstly, how have you guys monetized the Recomed platform? As in, how do you guys actually make each rand? And then secondly, because it is a technology startup, are you in a place where you are actually making money at the moment?
Yeah, Recomed is a seven-year-old company, so we're certainly generating revenue and growing in the region of around, at this point in time, 10 to 20% month on month, which is very positive. Our business model is to charge a fee to the provider, to the doctor, for referring a new patient into their practice. So if we help to grow the doctor's practice with a new patient, we will typically charge a 15 Rand fee. That's 1-5, a 15 Rand fee for that patient's booking. And the more bookings there are, the more fees we generate. We don't charge doctors any monthly subscription fees or licensing fees. It's actually free to be on the platform. And if their own patients use it to make bookings, we pretty much just charge them for the SMSs that we send out. So again, our business model is in the referral of new patients into these doctors' practices, and it's profitable for the doctor from day one. And that's our primary model. The business does generate revenue, but we're scaling quite quickly. And as with any sort of technology scale up, what our goal is to capture market share. And we have been a pioneer in the industry, you know, pioneering online bookings. We were the pioneer in integrating our platform with over 90% of the practice management systems that exists that sort of manage the doctor's billing and electronic medical records. We integrated with all the leaders there, and we were also the first to integrate with major medical aids such as Discovery Health. So in order to keep pulling out these industry firsts and to keep capturing market share, I would estimate more than 75% of online bookings in the country goes through Recommed at this point for healthcare. And we want to keep that going. So in order to do that, we supplement the funding for the business with venture capital. We have a number of fantastic institutional venture capital partners that fund our business. And we're going to make an announcement about a new fundraise quite soon, which helps us to continue to keep growing.
Anything to bring money into the business, we are certainly there, you know, for such announcements. But it is an interesting business model that you guys have come with, and it sounds like you guys have a fair bit of market share, especially if you're saying that 75% of online bookings are, you know, sort of going through your system. Maybe you could talk to us about the rationale for creating such a business model, because in this day and age, a lot of tech businesses, whether large in corporate or in the startup space, are trying to do more of subscription-based business models and have annuity-type revenues. But you sort of decided to go on a fee-based structure, you know, driving volumes. Maybe you could talk to us about that.
Yes, I think that SaaS business model, software as a service, is certainly popular. But if we look at Africa, I would say the more popular and successful funded sector has been fintech, and the most successful business model in fintech has been a transactional business model. If we look at healthcare, I would say the same. If you look at things like healthcare switching and how that generates revenue, transactional business models are actually more successful than annuity-based business models in healthcare and fintech. So you can choose a hybrid or one or the other. And we went for transactional because it allows us to scale very, very quickly. And every time we bill one of our customers, so I'll give you an example. If we introduce 100 new patients to a doctor, and we've actually can prove that these patients have made bookings, seen the practice, and they, of course, will probably visit the practice 4 times a year for a couple of years, we send that in our report to them. We'll charge them 15 Rand, you know, times 100, which is 1,500 Rand for that month. And we'll bill them for that. They understand the value that we have provided them, because they know that they have charged those 100 patients, perhaps 600 Rand a consult, and that, you know, Recommed helped them fill out those empty patches in their calendar. On the flip side, when we found from experience, we actually started as a subscription-based service, Mudiwa, and we found that if you charge a doctor 300, 500, 1,000 Rand a month on a subscription and provide the same report to them, making them do the math themselves and try and calculate the value was a lot less successful for us. So when we tell them, look, you pay for only people who show up, they just get it and they understand, and that helps us scale. When you tell them, listen, we're a great platform, we'll send you a report and we'll charge you an annuity fee, they kind of get a bit of heartburn and they're not sure how to assess the platform. So, you know, we just learned that from experience. And we also looked at what the other successful companies in our sector were doing. And most of them were going down the transactional route. So we did the same.
Okay, cool. I think that that certainly does make sense from that point of view. Now, Shiran, you've sort of run us through some of that rationale, and I do completely understand. And I think I'm actually grateful that you've given us the insight, especially given the steps that you guys have taken, trying out the subscription model first, but then just seeing that on the ground, doctors want to see what the actual value is. And if you can communicate that, then it justifies the spend in a big way. But I want to just switch a little bit as we round up the discussion, taking a step back just around the opportunities in health tech, because I think the last year and a half, if anything, has been a big driver for health tech companies. I think earlier on we highlighted quite at length the adoption around bookings, but at the same time, the adoption around video conferencing and things like that. Where else do you sort of see the gaps when it comes to the healthcare space? I think you also spoke about the delivery of medicine and stuff like that. So where else do you sort of see the gaps, especially for other aspiring health tech entrepreneurs that may be listening to this?
I think that health tech is going to show perhaps the greatest amount of innovation as a sector globally over the next 10 years than any other, simply because it was largely under innovated over the last 20 years. And with the sort of convergence, I think, of the challenges of COVID, of cloud-based infrastructure, and of the fact that there's a smartphone in almost everyone's pocket today, that creates a very conducive environment to healthcare innovation at long last. There's a number of areas that entrepreneurs can innovate on. I think for the consumer and for patients, it's all about convenience of access and delivery of care. Telehealth, in terms of allowing them to speak to providers and practitioners digitally, as well as the ability to track their own health, you know, patient personal healthcare tracking applications and wearables, and you know, becoming responsible for your own healthcare. Then, of course, they can share that information into healthcare insurance. And there's a number of areas where the healthcare insurance and even the life insurance business can be improved and augmented by having more pathways to communicate to consumers. So an example would be getting basic HIV or diabetes or hypertension testing done. And there's a number of ways that health tech companies are trying to democratize the world of testing and getting results back to health and life insurers. And then, of course, there's this whole sector of practice management software and trying to improve the environment for the doctor. Traditionally, that's been quite a busy and competitive space. But I believe that there's always room for startups and entrepreneurs to find gaps. And you know, perhaps that will come in the form, for example, of creating practice management softwares that providers can use and operate entirely from their cell phones and not necessarily having to fire up an old school computer. And of course, there's been a great trend to move everything into the cloud. You know, those are just three key areas, I think, where if people looking to innovate should look on the consumer side, on the insurer side, and on the provider, which is the doctor side. And, you know, once they've figured out which sector they want to focus on, to your original question earlier, they then should pick a business model that they want to focus on and take it from there.
It certainly does sound like there's a lot of opportunity if people can just attune themselves to some of these issues that you're talking about. And it really does sound like it's more taking what's already happening and just finding some way of connecting it either to a central database or finding a way to reduce people's need to actually go and find a health practitioner to do something like testing, you know, for some of those ailments. On the last point for us, I guess it's one of those all-encompassing sort of questions, because we've previously had we understand that you are part of the Harambian Entrepreneurs Alliance, and we recently had Okendo Lewis-Gale, who is the founder of the Harambians, on the platform recently. But what we wanted to maybe get a sense of from you is from a networking point of view, because I think for startups and entrepreneurs, this is a big issue. How do you make sure that the networks that you build around yourselves are the type of networks that you can actually help to take your business forward? Because it's not everyone who has access to people that can write a check that's actually able to do something constructive with those networks, with those connections, firstly. And secondly, because of that association with the Alliance, what are your ambitions for the continent?
I'm very proud and happy to be a part of the Harambe Entrepreneur Alliance. And I think the key word there is it's an alliance. It's not a network. So I advise any entrepreneur or business person to just focus on relationship building. Try to add value into your colleagues' lives, as well as into perhaps investors and others that you're trying to reach, and focus on investing in genuine relationships, getting to know people, understanding what it is that that they're trying to achieve in their careers or with their investments. Perhaps if you're an entrepreneur, try and introduce some credible investments to other investors as a way to getting to know them. If you're looking to meet with other entrepreneurs, share notes from the industry, share contacts, try and be as helpful as possible. And that creates relationships and friendships, and that forms the basis of your network. I think that when you approach relationship building from a purely transactional perspective, meaning, what can they do for me, or what can I do for someone else that will make them do something for me? When you approach it from that perspective, it's destined to fail. What you should try and do instead is try and find like-minded people that you enjoy getting along with, and develop an attitude of being as helpful as possible to everybody around you. And when you can do that, I think you will find that you will be fortunate enough to come across many incredible people, as they will be fortunate enough to come across you. And, you know, one day you'll wake up and realize that you're in some very good company, and that creates a very nice and self-reinforcing ecosystem. And I think the Harambe Entrepreneur Alliance is just one excellent example of that.
And then on the second bit, just around your ambitions for Africa.
Well, Recomed is expanding into other African countries. We're launching later this year in Kenya. And we believe that, you know, there's much that we've learned in South Africa that are translatable to other markets. We're very passionate about not just solving the problems we solve inside the borders of South Africa, but solving them everywhere that people need access to healthcare. So watch the space.
Watch the space. So that's been us with Sharana Mod, who is the founder and CEO of Recomed, giving us insight into what they say is the largest healthcare booking platform and marketplace in sub-Saharan Africa. He was giving us some insight into how the business actually works, sort of drawing parallels between them and the travel industry, to say that the likes of booking.com have been used by South Africans for a number of years to book travel, but there hadn't been such a service to do healthcare-related sort of booking. So they've seen good growth, averaging about 50 to 60,000 bookings on their website at the moment, though that did take a little bit of a hit during the pandemic. He is also just telling us about some of the other functionality that they have, because they do cater for video or teleconferencing when it comes with patients and healthcare professionals, something that's been big over the period. And he's also then highlighting the fact that when you see what's going on in the space, you know, there's a lot of different opportunities, as long as you can find a way to create a situation where people don't have to leave their home, or you reduce the friction between patients and healthcare professionals, and also some of the common testing that's being done, there's a lot of opportunity. And then just ending off just on a point around networking, saying that networks are very important when it comes to growing a business, but taking networks or your relationships with people from a purely transactional point of view is probably not the best way of doing things. Rather, create real value-adding relationships, and that will help you and the people that you interact with to go forward. Sharan, thank you so much for being with us.
Madiwa, thanks so much for having me on the show.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Now, one of the things that I appreciate about talking to people like Sharan is that they show how simple it is to draw certain lines, right? Some of the questions that a person can have, like, let's say you are driving in Johannesburg, or you find yourself on the streets of, let's say, Harare, Zimbabwe, or maybe Nairobi, Kenya, right? Those are places where in certain parts of each city, there are big potholes. And someone might sit there and say, guys, is there surely not an easier way to make sure that these roads are repaired before they break down like this? And when you think about some of the ways that people are using machine learning in places like the city of Cape Town, for example, you then see that a question, right, that people have on a daily basis going through the experience of life can actually be turned into a business model. So going through the rationale that Shiran gave at the beginning to say people are booking travel, booking flights using things like booking.com, why are we not doing the same when it comes to booking our doctors? Reduce the admin for the doctors, open up the market for doctors, while at the same time increasing the amount of convenience on the side of consumers. And when you look back on it, it makes perfect sense. But I think more than anything else, it's an encouragement to say, if you are out there and there's certain things that you are seeing on the road. I enjoyed talking to one of the founders of Flutterwave recently, because he joined us from Nigeria, saying that they see the problems in that country. The attitude is that when you see problems, and there are a lot of problems on the ground, which is not unique to Nigeria, but everyone around the world. When you see problems in your daily life, an inconvenience, something that could be done better, why not explore some way to improve that thing and then attach a business model to it? So yeah, a very interesting discussion, and it will be good to see what actually happens with the rest of the health tech space. There's a lot of innovation that's actually going on at the moment. I remember getting in touch with a company called Pulukisa, and they're backed by Microsoft and integrated with Microsoft. They enable a lot of healthcare professionals that to do healthcare checks remotely and things like that. And if you think about what's happening now, they're probably ahead of the curve, trying to make healthcare more accessible in more remote areas, right? And now you have someone like Shiran trying to make healthcare more accessible to people without having to leave their house, but more importantly, reducing all of those hassles. So once again, if you see an issue, if you see a problem, that might be the next billion-dollar idea. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter. We're hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.